Well, good morning, folks. It's good to be with you as we explore God's Word together. And if you're listening online, we want you to know that we pray that God will encourage you and be near to you, whatever your circumstances. It's good to be sharing with you today, too. This is week three of a little series about how we live a significant life, a purposeful life, the kind of life we believe God wants us to live. And what we're doing is we're taking a look at some men and women from the Old Testament, people who really, unless we grew up going to church every single weekend, we may not even have heard of them, or if we have, we probably haven't heard their full story. We say a picture is worth a thousand words, but we also know that words can be very powerful. There are moments when we don't need to say anything. In a picture, the moment speaks for itself. But we also know this truth, that words carry meaning. Words can have an impact for years and years and years. All of us have experienced the power of a positive word that's spoken to us at just the right time. And all of us have probably experienced the power of a negative word that was spoken to us at just the wrong time. Words have meaning. They have impact. They have significance in our lives. I know for some of us, perhaps when we were younger, somebody called us names, ridiculed us, and we believed that. And we shouldn't have held on to it, but we have. Some of us, when we were younger, maybe grandma looked us in the face and told us that we had the singing voice of an angel, and we believed it, and we shouldn't have. Just kidding. I know, you all sing like angels. And we understand words have meaning and words have power. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing now if we didn't believe that. Today, we're looking at two of the most powerful statements, sets of words in the Bible. Two sets of words that I believe are incredibly important in all of the scriptures. Words that were uttered by two less well-known people. One was Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Israel's first king. He was a warrior. He was trained for battle. He was next in line someday to be the next king of Israel. And the other powerful statement was uttered by Jonathan's armor bearer. This well-known person is so less well-known that we don't even know his name. And as far as we can tell, this is the only sentence in Scripture that Jonathan's armor bearer ever said. And yet what Jonathan said and what his armor bearer said may well be two of the most powerful statements in all of Scripture. They changed history then, and I believe they can impact, they can change our lives thousands of years later. So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Oh Lord, we know it's true. We admit it's true. Words have a powerful impact on our lives. And sometimes, even though we wish that it weren't the case, we know that our words have a powerful impact on other people's lives. Sometimes the words that have escaped our mouths, we wish we could somehow get back. But Lord, you use words to have impact in our lives. And we pray as we come to this story of Jonathan and his armor bearer, that you would use these words to impact on us, so that we might have an impact in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To set the stage, I need to tell you a little bit about how these statements came to be said. What was happening was, like we spoke about Gideon 2 weeks ago, hiding in a wine press, the Israelites were in trouble again. The Israelites were in conflict, and as often was the case, they were in conflict with the Philistines. I'm not sure if it would be fair to say that the Philistines were Israel's arch enemy, but they were close. They were the schoolyard bully picking fights with Israel. And the Israeli army was perched up on the side of a big steep ravine. Their army had been diminished down to about 600 men. They had almost no weapons. As little as two or three swords was all they had left. If you're wondering how did that happen, let me encourage you to read the entire account for yourself. You can start reading in 1 Samuel, maybe start reading around chapter 12 or 13 and read through chapter 14 and you'll begin to see the entire context. I'm just giving you the abbreviated notes. It's like when you go to a movie and it says these events are based on a true story. What I'm telling you is based on a true story, but I'm leaving some things out. The Israelites, we can say, they were diminished. They were demoralized. And they were sitting on the side of this ravine, steep down, steep up the other side. And on the other side is the Philistine army, powerful, ferocious, confident, well-trained. Every man has a sword. And there's a battle coming. We don't know for sure when it's going to happen, but you can feel it in the air. There's a battle coming. Maybe both sides are hoping that the other side would start it. But everyone knew sooner or later something is going to happen. And Jonathan is hanging out up here with his armor bearer. And the cool thing about being royalty was you were assigned an armor bearer. You had somebody to go into battle with you, to fight with you, to look out for you. And he's up there with his armor bearer and they're sitting there and Jonathan says, you know what? Let's go over there. Let's go over there and see what happens. Let's go show ourselves to the Philistines. Let's go check it out. And his armor bearer says, yep, let's roll. Let's do this. I'm in. Now, here's an interesting thing. His armor bearer had to do that. That's what he got paid to do. So they go, and what's really cool is that they climb up the rocky ravine and they show themselves to the Philistines, and the Philistines say, come on up, we'll fight you. No surprise there. And then scripture says that the two young soldiers, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they defeat 20 Philistine warriors in hand-to-hand combat. They defeat 20. It's a powerful, powerful moment. I don't know about you, but if I was Jonathan and if I was his armor bearer and we'd just taken down 20, I'd be pretty excited. So they celebrate, I would imagine. And perhaps we'd think that's got to be the end of the story. These guys just wiped out 20. Scripture says that God sends a spirit of fear and chaos throughout the entire Philistine camp, and the Philistine warriors begin to turn against each other. Remember the story of Gideon too? And hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of them fight one another and kill one another. And Jonathan and his armor bearer sit back and watch it happen. They watch God deliver a great victory. When we study scripture, we understand that he wanted to give that to the Israelites all along. I'm not sure if Jonathan and his armor bearer really knew that. That they might have had a hunch, but they sit back and they watch that happen. An incredible moment, an awesome time when God showed up powerfully in the lives of two men who believe in him. So today what I want us to notice is this. That moment in time would never have happened had they not made two powerful statements. If it wasn't for a statement that Jonathan made, followed by a statement that his armor bearer made, this moment in Israel's history would never have happened. Here's the two powerful statements, and I pray that you'll identify, will identify with Jonathan or his armor bearer, maybe with both. The first powerful statement is, perhaps God. I'm not sure if there's a more powerful statement that we can make, actually. Perhaps God. When I read the Bible, I'm not sure there's a more powerful statement than when Jonathan said, perhaps God. 1 Samuel 14:6 says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go up to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps God will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving us, whether by many or by a few. Now, I haven't studied the entire life of Jonathan, but my hunch is that he was perhaps by nature a perhaps God seeker. It was just how he was wired. He saw an obstacle and he would say, maybe God will act on our behalf. Maybe God wants to do something in this moment. Some of you today, you hear that and you resonate with that. Some of you are naturally inclined to be a perhaps God thinker. It's how you're wired. It's how God has shaped you. Some of you, when you see an opportunity, your first inclination is, perhaps God wants me to jump in on this project. Some of you are kids and you're at school and there's somebody being mistreated and you just have this natural, perhaps God wants me to step up for this person. Some of you, when you have a relationship challenge, your first inclination is perhaps God will act on our behalf. Maybe God wants to fix this. It's just how you're naturally wired, like Jonathan was. History has been made by perhaps God thinkers. Perhaps God. Perhaps God. And we're the beneficiaries of a perhaps God mindset. You might resonate with that. That might come naturally to you as well. Now, there's another powerful statement in this story, and I reckon it's this one. I am with you, heart and soul. It's what his armor bearer said right after Jonathan said, perhaps God will act on our behalf. His armor bearer said, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said, go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. Notice heart and soul. Because his armor bearer had to be with Jonathan. His armor bearer had to say, I am with you. That was his job. That was his assignment. He was obligated to say, Jonathan, I am with you. Do what you need to do. I'll be there. He had to say it. They didn't have a human relations department back then. He couldn't say, Jonathan, you know what? I think I'll take a sick day today. He couldn't do that. He had to say, I am with you. What he didn't have to do was he didn't have to say the second part. And that's the powerful part. He didn't have to say, I'm with you, heart and soul. He didn't have to say that part. Put yourself in Jonathan's shoes. He is a perhaps God thinker, a young man with a vision, an idea, a moment. Maybe God wants to do something. And he turns to his armor bearer, and his armor bearer, not out of obligation, not out of fear, not out of getting into trouble if he didn't, but when his armor bearer says to him, Jonathan, let's do this. I'm with you, heart and soul. How much extra confidence must that have given Jonathan in that moment? If I was Jonathan and I heard, I'm with you, heart and soul, heart and soul says to me, I believe in you. I trust you. I'm with you mentally and physically. I'm in this thing. I've got your back. We can do this. Those words, I'm with you, heart and soul, are life-breathing, life-giving words when they're said. Some of us, we hear, I'm with you, heart and soul, and we resonate with that. We resonate with the armor bearer. You're a heart and soul person. When you see something going on, you see a struggle, your first thought is, man, I empathize with those people. I'm with them. How can I support them? How can I help them? When someone shares a prayer request, the perhaps God people are the first to say, perhaps God wants you to do A, B, C, D. The heart and soul people say, I'm praying for you. I'm with you in this. I'm going to help you carry this burden, heart and soul. The heart and soul people say, I'm praying with you. Some of us, we're loyalists. We get behind other people. We believe in people. If perhaps God is a powerful statement to be backed up by a heart and soul statement, I'm not sure there are two more powerful statements in Scripture. I'm not sure that there are two more powerful statements for you and for me thousands of years later. Some of you just resonate. You say, yep, that's me. I'm heart and soul. So, which one are you? In fact, I gave you a spot to write it down on the handout. I want you to take a second and think about that for yourself. Which one do you just naturally bend towards? Do you identify with Jonathan? Perhaps God wants to do this. Or do you identify with the armor bearer? Heart and soul. I'm in this with you. Heart and soul. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not sure. I'm a little bit of both sometimes. But for today, I want you to pick just one. Which would your heart go to when you hear that story? Perhaps God or heart and soul? You don't have to, but if you're game, hands up the perhaps God people. Okay? Hands up the heart and soul people. Isn't that interesting? See, of the people that put their hands up, it's almost 50-50. See, God has wired some of us to be men and women who we see something, we say, let's do something. Maybe God wants us to act. And God has wired some of us to be men and women who, when we hear that what somebody wants to do something for God, we think, how can I join that? I want to believe, I'm with you, what can we do? It's just how we're wired. You might be a perhaps God person sitting next to a heart and soul person, and what you need to do is have coffee together and figure out what you're going to do together. Once we've identified, I'm a little bit more this or I'm a little bit more that, it begs the realest obvious question, doesn't it? So what? What do I do about it? What does it mean? How do I nurture that? We could talk about that for a long time. I just want to give you three very simple thoughts today to get you thinking a little bit more, maybe than you have before, about what to do with who you are. What do we do when we're a perhaps God person? What do we do when we're a heart and soul person? One thing I think we can do is lean into it, but don't lock onto it. If you're a natural, perhaps God thinker, don't apologize for that. Lean into that. Go with that. That's how God's wired you. Don't apologize for being a heart and soul kind of person. Lean into that. Go with it. That's how God has wired you. But be careful. Don't lock into it too tightly. Perhaps God people, there might come a time when you need to be a little bit heart and soul with somebody else. You might need to support somebody else's dreams and visions and ideas. You might need to get behind somebody else and be willing to do that. Heart and soul people, there could come a time when you feel a nudge and maybe you haven't felt it for a while and you're thinking, perhaps God wants me to go with it. Then go with it. Don't neglect the one because you lean toward the other. Lean into it, but don't lock onto it. Heart and soul people, you don't have to be heart and soul with everybody all the time. There's times when you don't believe in somebody. There are times when you don't support somebody, and that's okay. I know some perhaps God guys when the lotto draw is particularly large. They've never bought a lottery ticket. They've never played the lottery. They're not sure that it's the wisest thing for believers to be spending their money on. But millions of dollars gets their perhaps God mind spinning. Perhaps God. Perhaps God. Perhaps God. And then they mention the idea to their spouse. I'm not going there. You lean into it, but you don't lock onto it. Perhaps God people take some steps of faith here and there and it pays off. God shows up and pretty soon, if they're not careful, everything is a perhaps God opportunity. Perhaps God people, not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Heart and soul people, you don't always have to attach yourself to somebody. So lean into it, but don't lock onto it. Another thought is this, look and listen. Look for opportunities to do what comes naturally to you. And look for opportunities to practice doing what maybe doesn't come naturally. I think Jonathan was looking for an opportunity to be a perhaps God guy. I think he was looking for a chance to say, maybe God wants to do this. He was paying attention. He was looking for it. So look for opportunities to practice. Teenagers, the day might come when you get a chance to practice. For instance, someday soon, one of your parents might come to you early on Saturday morning and wake you up and say, son, daughter, perhaps God wants us to pull the weeds out of the garden today. And this is where you get to practice saying, Mum and Dad, I'm with you heart and soul. You're laughing at that. I don't understand why. Practice what comes naturally. Practice what doesn't come naturally. Look for those opportunities. As you're looking, listen. Listen to wise counsel. Listen to God's still small voice nudging you forward, pulling you back. Step, wait, push, hold on, look, but listen. Jonathan did that. Jonathan didn't go in full of steam, not thinking about it. Jonathan, even though he was a perhaps God person, he gave God a chance. He listened to God in case God had a different plan. In 1 Samuel 4, 8 to 10, it says, and this is after he says, perhaps God, and his armor bearer says, let's do this. And then Jonathan says, okay, let's do this. And then it says, Jonathan said, come on then. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we'll stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So Jonathan is a perhaps God guy, but he's giving God space to intervene. He's giving God time to say, hey, Jonathan, it's a good idea, it's just not a God idea. Hey, Jonathan, hold back. Hey, Jonathan, not every time. Look and listen. And finally, the third thought is learn from others. Life's best lessons are usually learnt from what other people teach us. We can learn all kinds of stuff from other people. We can start by looking at scriptures. The Bible is full of other, perhaps God and heart and soul, men and women. I've given you a few examples where you can read for yourself. Ruth and Naomi, Jonathan and David, Mordecai and Esther. And believe it or not, we can learn from looking at another section of Jonathan's life. Jonathan was perhaps God, but Jonathan was also heart and soul. And you can read his whole story and you'll find out there's a relationship moment with Jonathan and his relationship with David. And I don't want to go into the whole history of the nuances of that relationship. It's an amazing friendship. And the biggest reason it was an amazing friendship was because Jonathan, in that relationship with David, was a heart and soul friend. In fact, there are moments in their relationship, their friendship, where Jonathan says to David almost the exact same thing the armor bearer said to him. Friends, learn from that. Read the scriptures. The Old Testament is full of wonderful lessons of perhaps God and heart and soul thinking. Learn from each other. It's one reason smaller groups are important. We love to get together on a Sunday morning in a larger gathering. We think getting together to worship and to learn from God's word is powerful and important. But we believe too that the next step is getting into smaller groups of people, because in a small group we pray for one another and we learn from each other and we hold each other accountable and we support each other. In a small group we will meet perhaps God people. And in a small group, we will meet heart and soul people and we can learn from each other. So if you're not in some kind of smaller group, perhaps God wants you to join one. You might want to start one. And if you're a heart and soul person, you might want to find somebody and say, hey, if you'll start, I'll help out. If you're interested in starting a small group, grab a couple of friends. Perhaps God. Heart and soul people, find a couple of friends. Start a small group. So this morning, folks, what's your perhaps God moment? What's that step of faith that you need to take? Church in the marketplace, what's our perhaps God moment? And we'll be thinking a little bit more about that at 12 o'clock. And maybe I'm with you, heart and soul. Or maybe there's someone you need to get behind, heart and soul. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you guide us into new things, into greater things, and you want us to live a meaningful, purposeful, significant life. Thank you when your Spirit nudges us and says, perhaps God. Thank you, God, for the people who stand with us, heart and soul. God, we love you, and we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, who made a way for us to live always in your presence. And thank you for the person you made each of us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.